Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis. We begin 13 lines at the top, Samach Beis Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of three things where Moshe Rabbeinu acted and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yosha Koyach. Shlosha Dvarim also Moshe B'Daito, V'Skima Daito L'Das Mokom. He did exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do. And we explained the first one yesterday was that Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife, Pirish Mina Isha, and we explained how HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that that's correct. Moshe Rabbeinu was constantly speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if on Har Sinai, when Klai Yisrael was being told they're going to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're going to have Gilu Shechina, they have to separate from their wives, the Shloshes Me'akbala. So Moshe made a Kal V'chomer, if Klai Yisrael have to separate because they were going to speak with the Shechina, I who speak with the Shechina at all times also must separate from my wife. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to him because the Pasuk says, after Har Sinai, everybody else was able to go home, Lech, So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yashakayach to Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the first of the three. Now we begin 13 lines from the top, Samach Beis Amud Aleph, with the second of the three. Moshe Rabbeinu Shibir Es HaLuchos. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the first Luchos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, you did the right thing. How do we know that? My Darash. Where's the drasha for this? So Amar, Uma Pesach, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Uma Pesach, Shehu Echod Mishesh Meos Ushlosh Shvei Mitzvos, Amr Torah, Kol Ben Necho Lo Yochabo. If regarding the Korban Pesach, if somebody is Rachmona Litzlan, a Ben Necho, in other words, he's not fulfilling what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do. So if such a person is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, so certainly somebody that doesn't fulfill all of the Torah Kula, in other words, Klal Yisrael was doing Chet Egel, and the Egel Avodah Zorah is Keneged Kol HaTorah Kula. So if somebody doesn't fulfill the entire Torah, HaTorah Kula, the Yisrael Mumrim, and Nebuch Klal Yisrael was Mumrim, they were heretics at this point in time, by bowing down to the Egel, Allah's Kama V'Kama, that Moshe Rabbeinu said that they're not allowed to participate in the Torah. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm breaking the Luchos. How do we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yashar Koyach, V'Skima Daito L'Das HaMakom? Where do we see that? They'll see it. The Pasuk says, Asher Shibarta. Rashi says, Asher is a Lashon of Yashar. Correct, you did correctly. Shibarta, that you broke them. Yom HaReish Lakish, this is basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Rabbeinu, Yashar Kochacha Sheshibarta Yashar Koyach, that you broke the Luchos. In other words, you did the right thing. That's the second of the three. What's the third of the three? Moshe Rabbeinu ended on one day to the Shloshes Me'akbala. There's supposed to be only two, and Moshe Rabbeinu made it three. Hosef Yom Echad Midaito. Where do we see that? My Darash was the Drasha that Moshe Rabbeinu made. They'll say, V'chidashtem Hayom Umachor. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, go and tell Klal Yisrael that they should make themselves holy, v'kidashtem, today and tomorrow. Now, hayom kimachor, it means today like it is tomorrow. Now, ma machor, just like tomorrow is the night and the day, ma machor laylo imo, it's the night as well as the day, so too hayom, af hayom, laylo imo, it has to be the day and the night as well. But this was already given during the daytime, v'laylo de'idna nofakle, that night had already gone. Moshe Rabbeinu was only being told in the middle of the day, so Moshe Rabbeinu therefore said, you have to add on an extra day. Shemamina treyome levami edna, two additional full days besides today. How do we know that that was correct? And Hashem agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu. V'skima daito l'das hamokom. How do we know that? The lo shar yoshchino ad Shabbat, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't come until that Shabbos. We know that Har Sinai was on Shabbos, Matan Torah was on Shabbos, and therefore we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu by not coming on Friday. He came on Shabbos. Gemara goes right. The Tanya, we learn the following in the Braisa. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Beisham Yomim Shnei Zechor Mushnei Nekevos, Ubeisil Omim Zochru Nekevo. We had this in the Mishnah as well, and the Braisa is going to expand upon this and bring down additional shitos. So in the Mishnah, we had the din that Beisham holds that you need to have two sons to fulfill the mitzvah, and Beisil said one son and one daughter. And here, Rabbi Nosson says no. Beisham's opinion is that to fulfill the mitzvah of Puravo, you need to have two sons and two daughters, whereas Beishamai says that Zohar Nekeva, one son, one daughter, is sufficient to minimally fulfill this mitzvah. As we'll see later on, and the Gemara is going to paskin, we try to have as many children as possible. So these are only under certain situations is a person considered to, quote, have fulfilled the mitzvah of Pruvu, once you continue to try to have as many children as possible. Amr Rav Huna says, my time in Rabbi Nosson, I'll leave it to Beishamai. Rav Huna says, what was Rav Nosson's reasoning that Beishamai should say that you have two Zecharim and two Nekevas to fulfill the mitzvah? So he bases it on the pasuk, Dosiv, Vatosef Loledes Es Ochiv Es Havel. So what happened? Chava had given birth to Cain, and then says she additionally had Es Havel. Es Echav es havel. So the S over here teaches us hevel vachoso, kai vachoso. The extra S, like we dashed many times, kabein es avicha v'esimecha, to include other people, one drasha, your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, older brother, etc. So the word S can be used to darshan. So to over here, he darshaned out that it included a sister being born with Kayin, a sister being born with Hevel. The Medrash says there were two sisters born with Kayin, and that was actually the fight between Kayin and Hevel as to who was to get the extra sister to be married. But for now, we're just learning this is one sister born with Kayin and one sister born with Hevel, Uksiv. And then the Pasuk says that Nebuch, after Hevel died, Kayin killed Hevel, so then eventually, after 130-year waiting period of time, so Adam and Chava had another child, Kishos li Elokim Zera Acher Tachas Hevel Ki Arogu Kayin. She says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for giving me another child to replace Kayin. So you see over here, Rashi explains it's to replace Kayin. Kishos li Zera, in Dibur Maskei, Kishos li Zera Acher Tachas Hevel, Amo Tashlumin Boi. Oh, she's now saying, now we have fulfilled the mitzvah. Again, we lost the son, as we'll see later on in the Gemara. If you lose a son, it may not count towards Periyah Rivya, except if they had children themselves. Here, Hevel never had children, so that wouldn't count. So therefore, she's thanking Kosh Baruch for allowing them to fulfill the mitzvah by giving them Sheis to replace, so to say, Hevel in this count. So now they, Baruch Hashem, again had two sons and two daughters. So that's the Raya Rav Huna brings to Beis Shammai's opinion. Nu, what do the Rabbanim do with that? So Rabbanim say, no, just Oduyeh, who did call Modus? This is just thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Lav Davka saying that this is a Tashlumim for Hevel. Tanya Yidach, we have another Braisa that says a different opinion to Rabbi Nosson. This Tana holds that Rabbi Nosson holds as follows. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Beis Shammai Omrim, Zochu Nekeva. Beis Shammai says, like in our Mishnah, you just need a Zochu Nekeva, albeit that was Beis Hillel's opinion in our Mishnah. Here, Beis Shammai is the one that says Zochu Nekeva. Beis Hillel Omrim, O Zochu Nekeva. This is the most minimalistic Shita. Beis Hillel says, having either a son or a daughter fulfills the mitzvah. Amar Rava, Rava says, my time with the Rabbi Nosson, I'll leave in the Beis Hillel. Where do they get this? They'll base Shammai, we can understand the Zoch and the Keva, that we learned out in the Mishnah. Beis Hillel said that was based upon Adam and Chava being created. So we don't have to explain Beis Shammai according to Rav Nosson, but Beis Hillel according to Rav Nosson, that only one son or one daughter is adequate. So what's the source for this? My time in the Rav Nosson, I'll leave it to Beis Hillel. So Gemara says, based upon the following Pasuk, Shnemar, the Pasuk in Yeshayas tells us, Lo Sohu V'ro Lo Sheves Yitzorah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want a person to be alone. He has to inhabit the world. Lo sohu bira lo shevis yitzor. The world wasn't created that it should be empty. In other words, you have an obligation to go and procreate. Lo shevis, and this person did in fact procreate. So one, according to this opinion, would be adequate, either a boy or a girl. Itmar, we learn the following in the Beis Medrash. Hay lo banim bioso oviko chavim in iskayir. A person was Chris, he was a guy, and he had children while he was a guy, and then he converted. He had a boy and a girl, he had whatever the minimum standard was for fulfilling the mitzvah period of a rib, yeah? Then he's guy, and then he converts. So those children that he had as a guy, according to many, if they converted with him, that's the whole conversation. If they didn't convert with him, this doesn't apply. In any event, is he considered to have fulfilled the mitzvah period with those children once he converts, and assuming they converted as well? So Yochanan Amar, yes, kiyem period v'rivya. Reish Lakish Amar, lo, kiyem period v'rivya. So it's a machlokas, Yochanan Reish Lakish, did or did he not fulfill the mitzvah period v'rivya with those children that he had while he was a guy? So Rav Yochanan Amar, kiyem period v'rivya, the ha havulay. Rav Yochanan says he had children, so how can you say he didn't fulfill the mitzvah period v'rivya? And Reish Lakish Amar, lo, kiyem period v'rivya. No, he didn't, because we have the famous principle, Gerish Nisgayer, Kekotin Shino Ladomi. A ger that is not Nisgayer is in fact considered like a brand new creation, and therefore anything that he had before him is not considered in that same way, and therefore any children he had before him, that's not his children anymore, and therefore that is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah period of Rivia. Now, Tosus points out that Rav Yochanan agrees with this principle of Gerushin's guy, Kochinola Dami. He 100% agrees with that. However, over here, he says no, that it wouldn't apply in this situation. And the reasoning is, according to Rav Yochanan, at the end of that Tosu, Dibur Maskei Rav Yochanan, he says, Kivan de Benachriuso Kiem, de Zara Miuchas Achor, Biosu Shah, Mifter Nami Kishuniskaya. So Rav Yochanan's understanding is that here, since he fulfilled the mitzvah while he was a guy, so that Zuchus, so to say, keeps on coming with him, and therefore he was Mifter from this mitzvah when he was Nisgaya. Again, certainly he's allowed to and should have more children, but technically Rav Yochanan says he fulfilled the mitzvah. Now, each of them explains it according to their reasoning. Each of these positions, Rav Yochanan And Rish Lakish is based upon the following statements. The Itmar, Hoylubon Bioso Abikochovim Niskayer. We have previously the statement that we asked if a person had children while he was a goy, and then he was Niskayer. What's the law? Rav Yochanan Amar, Ein lo b'chor l'nachala. Rav Yochanan says that any child that he now has as a yid is not going to be considered the b'chor in regards to Yerusha purposes. L'nachala, he won't get pishtayim. Why? Because the whole Havalei Reishis Ono, because the Bechor, the whole reason he, so to say, gets the Pishnaim is because he's Reishis Ono, he's the first strength of his father. And in this situation, he's not. The father had five children while he was a guy. Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish Amar, Yesh Lo Bechor L'Nachla. In this situation, Reish Lakish says, this Bechor that he has as a Yid will be a Bechor L'Nachla, because Gershin is Gai, Kekoshin Oladami, because in this situation, he has no connection with his previous life as a guy, and therefore this is his first born child as a yid. Therefore, he's like a brand new person, and therefore this is a bechor l'nachla. So we had two brises over here, the same machlokas, you know, Yochanan and Reish Lakish, seemingly unnecessary to tell us both. So the Gemara says utsricha. You need to tell me both. You need to tell me in regards to whether you were Makai in the mitzvah puruv or not. Rav Yochanan said yes. Reish Lakish said no. And you need to tell me in regards to whether the child is a bechor or not. Rav Yochanan said no, and Reish Lakish said yes. Why do you need both machlokas? Because the ashminon bahi kamaisa, we only have the machlokas in regards to did you fulfill the mitzvah puruvu. So bahi kama Rav Yochanan, only over there would Rav Yochanan say yes, you did. Mishum demikari nami b'nei piruv rivya ninu, because the goyim also included the mitzvah piruv rivya, as the pasuk says that you should go, and in Parashas Noach says, go out and multiply. Now, Tosus asks in B'nai Piri Rivya, but it says in Sanhedrin, Mashal the B'nai Noach, lo mifkadu a Piri Rivya, that's not included in Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So Tosus answers, Yishlomar, Dohocha la B'nai Chiyuv a Piri Rivya, you're right, they're not commanded they should do Piri Rivya, Elo Kolomar, Shabneim Nikroim al Shimon, Kidamir Musamo, but they all called their children. So therefore, they fulfilled the mitzvah of Piri Rivya, even though they weren't obligated in it. However, that's only in regards to Piri Rivya. Avolin Yenachala, maybe Rav Yochanan would agree. The La B'nei Lachala Ninu, they're not considered having children in regards to Yerusha. Now Tosus points out, they do have inheritance, but they don't have the special din of Bechora, and that's what Rashi says over here. Ben Bechor Sheolad Shemiskai Eino Noto Pishnaim. He wouldn't get the Pishnaim, because that is a separate din. They have Yerusha, but they don't have the dinim of Bechor. So that's maybe Rav Yochanan in that situation would agree with Reish Lakish that there is no din of Bechor, and therefore this child would in fact inherit. So therefore, that's why you need the second brisa. No, so just have the second brisa. V'yit my b'chor, just have the second brisa. So maybe I would say over there, b'chor, kama Reish Lakish. Only over there did Reish Lakish say, because there is no din of b'chor Yerusha by Goyim. So therefore, that's why in the situation of b'chor, he says he's a b'chor l'nachala only when he becomes a yid. Abu Bayi, in regards to period of Rivia, maybe a modelel of Yochanan says Taka, they do have this concept of period of Rivia, even by the Goyim, and maybe Reish Lakish will be molded to Rivia Yochanan, so therefore you need both prices, Tzricha, to show the strength of each of their two respective Shitas. Eis Rivia Yochanan Reish Lakish, Rivia Yochanan Eis Reish Lakish, the following Shaila. Bo'eis Ahi Sholach Birodach Baladon Ben Baladon Melech Bavu Vigomer. This is from Melachim Beis, the end of Melachim Beis, where it tells us that this king of Bavel, his name was Berodach Baladon Ben Baladon. He took his father's name. His original name was Berodach, and he took his father's name. The interesting Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells us that, in fact, Berodon took over from his father, Baladon, when something happened to his father, and his face turned into the face of a dog. And therefore, he had to abdicate the kingship, and he gave it to his son. And his son wasn't embarrassed that his father had this horrible ponim, that his face had turned into the face of a dog, and to demonstrate his love, his kibud av aim for his father, so he took his father's name. So he's known as Berodach Baladon, the son of Baladon. So therefore, that's where you see that even by the Goyim, they have children. So Rav Yochanan says, you see that by the Goyim, there is this concept of children. So why are you, in fact, saying that there is no such thing as him having fulfilled the mitzvah of Piri Rivya while he was a guy? He should have fulfilled it. And you see the pasuk. Now, the Aruch Lanier asks, why are we waiting until the end of Melachim Beis? There are many, many examples you give from early in Tanakh, from Chumash, to show you that so-and-so, Hamben Hamdasa, Lavan Ben Nachar, you have many situations where you have a father and a son by the Goyim. So why are we giving this one? So he says, because this idea that he was so mechabed his father, that this is chaviv, and that's why it's mentioned over here. The other cases could just be historical record, who's the son of so-and-so and so-and-so. But here, it's definitely he took upon himself to demonstrate he's the son of his father. So therefore, that's why this specific incident is given. In any event, this is the kasha Reish Lakish. So I'm a lay. Reish Lakish will say, no. But also know that kochavim is l'chayis. I'm not arguing that they're not considered the son of the son of so-and-so when they're goyim. I'm just saying, nizgairu, les l'yachas, once they've converted, and now they're yiddisha, so therefore the previous genealogies that they had are no longer extant, because gerish nizgair, kikotin shenolat domi. More continues, Amar Rav tells us, hakom oldim, everybody agrees, be eved, shein l'chayis. Everybody agrees that an eved kenani, he has no genealogical lineage that his children are considered after him. Where do we see this from? Dilsib, by Avram Avinu, when he told Eliezer, Shavu lechem poim achamor, he told Eliezer and Yishmo, you stay over here with the donkey, Vani, Vanar, and I and Yitzhak will go up to Har Moriah, where Akedah Yitzhak occurred. So that pasuk says that you are Shavu lechem poim achamor, Am hadom lechamor. You have halachically the same status over here as the chamor, just like the chamor doesn't have a lineage, so too the Eved Kenani doesn't have a lineage. More questions. It says, Meisri, wait a second. How can you tell me that Eved Kenani doesn't have a lineage? We see that Tziva was the Eved Kenani of Mephiboshes. There is an opinion that says that Tziva was a Yisrael, but this Gemara, our here Gemara, holds that Tziva was an Eved Kenani, and he was the servant of Mephiboshes. Mephiboshes was the son of Yonah's son, who was the great chaver of David HaMelech. He was, Yonason was the son of Shaul, and unfortunately, Tziva badmouthed his owner, Mephibonesh, to David HaMelech, and David HaMelech made a mistake, and he split the Yerusha of Mephibosheth to half to go to Mephibosheth and half to go to Tziva, and as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to split Klal Yisrael, I'm going to make the northern kingdom Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda. Very interesting and tragic story in Tanakh. In any event, it says by Tziva, Ulitziva Chamish also born, we have 15 sons. The Esrim of Adam, he also had 20 of Adam. How could he own of Adam? So the simple understanding would be that somebody gave them to Tziva with the condition that they don't belong to your master, because normally Kosh Kon Eved Kon Rabbo. However, the Aruch Lener says that that's not possible because that din doesn't apply. Even if you give something to an Eved Amanaz that it shouldn't be owned by his master, he says that it doesn't belong to the master. So he wants to suggest, interestingly, that David HaMelech actually freed Tziva, and that's why Tziva can have avodim. Normally there's an Isser to free a Eved Kenani. It says they should serve you forever. You have an obligation, la'olam tavodu. However, that only applies to the master not being allowed to free them. The king, who has the right to go free, any servant has the right to go and free Tziva, and that's what he did. Very interesting, Aruch Lener. In any event, you see that Tziva had Chamish Osor Bonim, according to the understanding that he was an Eved Kenani. So you see, he clearly has a Yichus with his 15 sons. So no, where it says, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Kipar ben Bokar. It's no different than when we use the expression a par who is the son of a Bokar. So it doesn't mean anything in terms of lineage. It just tells us in this situation that it is a par ben Bokar. It's just a piece of information, but not a lineage. Wait, the word says, if you're telling me it's just a statement of facts and it's not really a lineage, so then maybe when we had Merodach Baladon ben Baladon, so Yehachi Hasum Nami, so that should also be maybe just a listing that that happens to be his father, but it's not a real Yichus, it's not a real genealogy. So what says, no, Shani Hasum, there it's different. The Achsinu Bishmayu Uvishmo Diavuan, because there it specifically mentions Merodach Baladon, and as we pointed out from the Aruch Lener, this idea that he was the Bedafka, wanted to be Miyachis after his father, so he took his father's name, Ben Baladon, so it's a little bit different. As opposed to here, Vahachal Mefarish, but by Tziva, just said he had 15 sons. It didn't say the 15 sons were Ben Tziva in the formal sense. So therefore, the idea that there could be a son, yes, they're biologically sons, but they're not miyachistic sons in terms of this concept that Rav said, Hakomod be'evit shein lo yichis. Alternative leading more says, Viboy Yiseima, no, yachsinu beduchta achrite be'avun ube'abo de'avun. You can see that by the goyim, you do have this concept of yichos in certain situations, but not by avodim. So you see, in regards to Dechsiv, it says, this pasuk we found in Melachim Aleph, and it says, Dechsiv, Vayishlochem HaMelech Asa, El Ben Hadad, Ben Tavrimon, Ben-Chezion, Melech Aram, Hayashev Ben-Nesek Lemar. Since it lists over here not only the father, it also lists the grandfather, so that clearly is more than just a shame, like Par Ben-Bakar, but there is a real listing over here. There is a Yichus in terms of by the Ovdi Kochavim. However, not by an Eth. More says it, but I refer to learn the base medrash. Hayilo banim meisu. What happens in the situation where a person did have children? The rachmanu litzlan lo aleinu. His children died during his lifetime. So Rav Huna Amar kiyem peri rivet. Even though his children no longer around, this man had children and he was mekayim the mitzvah peri rivet. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan Amar lo kiyem. He says no, that he is not mekayim. It's so tragic. Rav Yochanan himself lost 10 sons. The Gemara elsewhere goes, he used to carry around the tooth from them and show everybody that, listen, I lost 10 sons, and yet I'm still a Yori Shemayim, I'm still an Ovid Hashem, so whatever tragedies you're going through, he would try to console people who went through Nebuch tragic situations and say, you can get through this. But it's interesting that Rav Yochanan was the one that said, lo kiyem, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Piri of Aribia, and this was obviously quite no gaya to him, as he had lost all of 10 of his sons. So Gemara says, what's the svara behind? Rav Huna saying, you are Mekayim, and Rav Yochanan saying, you're not Mekayim, the mitzvah of Piri of Aribia. Rav Huna Amar Kiyei Mishum Ravasi. Rav Huna says this is based on Ravasi. What did Ravasi say? The Amar Ravasi Ein Ben David Ba that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to bring Moshiach Tzikeinu. That's Ben David. Ad Sheyichlu Kol Neshamo Shebeguf. There is a place in Shemayim, an Otsar, known as Guf. And that's where all the Neshamos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for this world were placed. And as each child is born, another Neshama is taken out. When all the Neshamos in that Otsar, called Guf, are used up, so that's when Mashiach will come. So, Ashichlu called Neshama Shebeguf, and this is based upon a pasuk. The pasuk tells us in Yeshaya, Shenamar ki ruach milufana yatov begomer. This spirit over here will come before me, and then Mashiach will come. So, this is what Rav Asi said that makes Rav Huna hold that, in fact, if a person had children, so he was helpful, so to say, in using up the otzro guf. The storehouse called Guf in Shemayim within the Shema. So he was Mekayim doing this additional idea of bringing Mashiach. So therefore, he's Yotzi the Mitzvah Piri Rivet, even Rachmona Litzlan, if the children died. Yochanan disagrees. Yochanan Malokia Piri Rivet. Why? Because the world was created. Lo Shevis Yitzara. We had the pasuk previously that says the Kosh Baruch Hu wants the world to be created to be lived in. In other words, people should procreate. L'shevus Yitzara Bo'inon, and unfortunately this person tried, had children, but Nebuch HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them, L'ho'leko, therefore he's not in fulfillment of this pasuk, L'shevus Yitzara, because his children Nebuch died. Gemara says, Meisvei, wait a second, Rav Huna and Rav Asi, they said that you are Mekayim the mitzvah, and we turn to Samach Beis on Mebeis, that's not true. Because we have the idea, b'nei banim, harei heim kibanim. So as Rashi says in the top Rashi over here, kasoka daitech, I might have thought, shemeis hazachar on a cave, if a person, mechmon l'slan, lost a male child or a female child, v'ayil obein, and he had a child, sheitztarev im achos aviv, and this child, a grandchild, should be able to replace, so to say, the son or daughter that was lost to this grandfather. So you see clearly from here, it's only if they had this grandchild that they can, quote, replace the child of the grandfather. Implication being that if they didn't have a child, as Rashi says, Taima shehoyel lemeis bein, if this son Nebuch or daughter Nebuch that died had a child, they can, so to say, continue this idea of being Mekayim Piri V'Rivya. Ho'alav ha'achi, but if they didn't have a child, lo kiyem, the sheves bo'inon, you require the actual continuation of the propagation, and Nebuch, if the child, the son of the daughter, died, that's not considered Mekayim Sheves. And therefore, Vakasha Ravuna, this is Akasha on Ravuna. So it says, no. Ki Tanya Hi, when this Brisa was stated, it meant Lahashlim. It meant a different idea. As Rashi says, Ki Tanya Hi Lahashlim, he says, Kigon, Shlo Yolo Lezokin, the grandfather, the Zokin, only had Ela Ben Echad. He had one child. Yaakov had one child, Ruvain. The Nosah ben Isha, Ruvain had a wife, Rachel, Beholded Bas, and then he had a daughter from Rachel. Now, Potter Azokin, now Yaakov, the grandfather, he is in fact Potter, he was Mekayim, so to say, the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya, Shari Hishlim Ze'ez Chovoso, by his son Ruvain having a daughter, so Ruvain counts as the son of Yaakov, and the granddaughter, this daughter that Ruvain had, will count as the daughter that Yaakov needed to have. However, Avali Havale Meikara Zochu Nekeva. But if he had originally a son and a daughter, Vafilo Meisav Lo Bottom, and even if they died without children, according to Rav Huna, according to Rav Asi, Kiyem period Rivia. He would in fact have fulfilled period Rivia, so you can't bring me any raya here from Bnei Banim, Hare Hem Kibanim. Another question to Rav Huna, Meisri. We learned from the following Brisa. Bnei Banim Hare Hem Kibanim. The Brisa tells us that grandchildren like children. But it says, Meis Echad Mehem, if one of them Nebuch were to have died, Lo Aleinu. Oshadim said, sorry, so if one of these children were to have been incapable of having children, Lo Kiyem period Rivia. So the Brisa says, Beferish, that if you didn't leave the son and the daughter alive in the world, or if they actually were alive but they weren't able to propagate, they were saris, they couldn't have children, the Brisa states befeirish against Rav Huna, lo kiyem period rivia, didn't fulfill the mitzvah of period rivia, tiyufta the Rav Huna, tiyufta. This is in fact a tiyufta against Rav Huna. We possibly like Rav Yochanan. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Bnei banim harei hem kibanim." This brisa we brought down, which said the grandchildren are like children. In what respect? So, Sabra Rabbi Lemeimar, Rabbi wanted to suggest that this was only that if you had a son and that son had a son, then Nebuch, even if the son died, you would fulfill the mitzvah of Piri Verivya. Bara Libra, or vice versa, Ubrata Librata, if you had a daughter and she had a daughter, so then as long as you still have a grandson from your son and you had a granddaughter from your daughter, so then you fulfill the mitzvah. And certainly, Vakoshikin Bara Librata, and even if your daughter had a son, never mind the daughter, but even if she had a son, you would fulfill the mitzvah. But the other way, Abaye originally thought, Avobrata Libra, if you had a daughter to his son, lo, that wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah. Nebuchadnezzar, if his son died, you can't say, well, this at least the daughter still left. No, that wouldn't fulfill it. That's what he originally thought, and Rava told him that's incorrect. Amalei Rava, no. L'shevis yitzarabaya, the pasuk tells us that you have to propagate the world. You have to go and have children in the world. And this pasuk from Yeshaya says you should have children. And Baruch Hashem, you do. You have a granddaughter. So what do we mean to make that it came from a son or it came from a daughter? You have continued that lineage. So therefore, you will mekayim the mitzvah of having a son and a daughter by them having descendants, even if they, Rachmona Luslan, aren't alive. Now the Gemara says, what do you see? Everybody holds the Kuli Alma Miyas Terei Michad Lo. Everybody holds, and you can see this in Dibra Maskel Rashli Trei Michad, if a person had a son and a daughter, Vasheni Meis, below Bonim, and one of them died without children, so then, Lo Kiyem Azokin Piriyu Rivya, then even if he had grandchildren from the other child that survived, that wouldn't be fulfilling this concept that he had to have a son and a daughter. Because let's say Nebuch, his daughter, died. So even though his son gave him a grandson and a granddaughter, that wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah because it was only from one side and not the other side. It only was from one child and not the other child. So therefore, the Gemara says, the kuli alma mias trei michad lo, that if you had two grandchildren that came from one child and none came from the other child, and Nebuch, the other child, died, so then you would not be yotzi this idea of be mekayim the mitzvah per rivya with a son and a daughter. More questions. It says, really? No? Hello? Maisa Shahaya with Rav Sheshes. For Amri Le Rabbanan Rav Sheshes. The Rabbanan told Rav Sheshes, who only had a daughter, and he didn't have a son, so he only had his daughter, and his daughter had children, so Rav Sheshes had a grandson and a granddaughter, and they told Rav Sheshes, Nesiv Itzsa, go and marry another wife. And some his wife passed away, V'olid B'nei, and you still have to go and have children. And V'amalu, Rav Sheshes said to them, no, I've already been Mekai in the mitzvah period of Rivia, B'nei Berati B'nai Ninhu, my children from my daughter, in other words, my grandchildren, are my children as well. So therefore, I have been Mekai in the mitzvah of having a Zohar and a Keva through my grandchildren, through my daughter. So you clearly see that even though it's only through one side, that you are Mekayim. So Rav Sheshes seems to go, the Maisa with Rav Sheshes seems to go against this idea, the Kuli Alma Mias, Trei Michad Lo. Now, as an aside, leaving for a moment the question of period of Rivia, how could Rav Sheshes not stay married? So some suggest that Rav Sheshes, because of the Maisa that we'll see in a moment, the Gemara, had lost his desire to have relations at this point, and therefore such a person might be potter from going and taking a wife. In any event, that's a kasha, it's a good kasha, but not for our Gemara right now. So our Gemara seems to be saying that Rav Sheshes is clearly showing us that the Kuli Alma Mias, Terei Michad Lo, is incorrect. So Gemara says, no, in fact, Rav Sheshes was just pushing them off. He was just telling them, listen, yeah, that's the teretz, but it wasn't really the teretz. In fact, Rav Sheshes was incapable of having any more children. That's why he didn't take a wife to have children. The Rav Sheshes, he achkar mipirkei de Rav Huna. There's a famous Gemara elsewhere, which tells us that Rav Huna gave a very, very long shiurim. And the Talmidim would not want to get up in the middle of the shiur, but they had to go to the bathroom. So they would hold it in. And this holding it in somehow, we don't understand physiologically how this works, but this holding it in made them sterile. So therefore, Rav Sheshes knew we couldn't have any more children. And that's why he said, my daughter's children, my grandchildren, they'll be Mekayim for me, the mitzvah of Pru or Vo. But that was a push-off. That wasn't a real answer, because technically he agreed that Kuli Alma, everybody agrees that in the situation where you only have children from one child, grandchildren from one child, and Nebuch you either don't have, or they Nebuch died without any children, so then you're not really being Mekayim this mitzvah of having a Zohar and an Akeva. Again, I pointed out yesterday, I pointed out again today, a person is not capable of controlling will he or will he not have children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be osek b'piri v'rivya. The question is going to be, asakta b'piri v'rivya. Did you try to have children? I pointed out yesterday, did you try to make shiduchim so that other people could have children? That's the real point over here. Gemara continues and says, Rabba, l'rova bar mori. Rabba says to Rabba bar mori, mino ha milso d'yama rabbanon b'nei banim harei kibanim. Where do we see this idea that grandchildren are like children? What's the source of that? So the Gemara suggests, ilema, if you're going to tell me, midir siv, it's based upon the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu. When Laban tells Yaakov, after he meets up with him, after Yaakov went away, he says, abanoz b'nosai b'abinim b'nai, that the daughters that you have are really my daughters, and the sons that you have are really my sons. So that's where we see that b'nei banim harei kibanim. So then read the next statement that Laban tells him. Elamayata, it says, vatzon soni, hachanami. So when he says, and the sheep are my sheep, the flocks are my flock. So does that also mean that it literally? So obviously not. So what is he telling Yaakov Avinu when he says, Abanos Messiah, Bonim Banai, Vatzon Suni? He says, Ella, the Kanis Minai. It all came because of me. But Lav Dafka, that B'nai Bonim, Hareim Kabanim, can you learn from here? So Hochanami, the Kanis Minai. So you got them because of me, but Lav Dafka, do we learn from here, B'nai Bonim, Hareim Kabanim? So the Gemara says, Ella Mihoch, where do we see this idea that grandchildren are like children, at least in some dinim? So the Gemara says, because of the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. So Divrei Hayamim tells us, V'achar bor Chetzron. Chetzron was from Yehuda, and he had a wife, Elbas Machir Avigilad. Now Machir, the daughter of Machir, Machir was from Binyamin. So Chetzron from Yehuda married the Bas Machir from Binyamin, Avigilad, and he was also, this Machir was also the father of Gilad. And then the pasuk continues, and later on it says, V'atelid lo es Segub. And they had a child, Segov, and it says about him, Usiv mini Machir yardu mechokikim. And from this lineage of Machir, who was from Menashe, I think I said before by accident, Binyamin, it's from Menashe, Machir, who was from the Shevet Menashe, Umini Machir yardu mechokikim, they had mechokikim. Now mechokikim, Usiv Yehuda mechokikim. The children of Yehuda are the ones that are mechokikim. They're going to be the leaders of Klai Yisrael. So how can it be that Machir was from Menashe, had children? It says that they're listed as children, his grandchildren, are Mechokiki. So it's obviously that the grandchildren that Machir had came through his son-in-law, Chetzron, who's from Yehuda, and nevertheless they're called his children. So you see over here, B'nei Banim, Kibanim. That's the source. Now the Gemara says, all of these shittas that we learned about, that you fulfill the mitzvah, Puravu, aren't in accord with what Rabbi Yeshua said. And our Mishnah, Masnisen, which said, Beishamai says two boys, and Beisil said a boy and a girl, Masnisen, the Lav, Rabbi Yeshua. They don't go in accord with Rabbi Yeshua's Shita. What did Rabbi Yeshua say? The Tanya, we learned in the Brights, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, Nos, Adam, Yishu, Yalduso, Yiso, Yishu, Bezeknuso. Even though a person got married in his youth, but never, his wife passed away, he should remarry again in his older age. Likewise, Hoyulo, Bonim, Yalduso, he had children when he was young. He shouldn't say, oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm sad. No, you lo banim ziknusa, should try to still have children even when he's older. And this is based upon the pasuk we have from Koheles, where it says shenemar baboker zirah zarecha, in the morning go and plant your seeds, v'lo erev al tanach kedecha, but in the evening don't relax and say I'm all done. Ki em chiyodeya ez yichshar hazeh ozeh. Because you don't know who's going to be successful. You don't know which children are going to be the good children. You don't know if your crop is going to be, so to say, successful, or they're going to be both good, or one good, one bad, etc. And therefore, don't take any chances. Even when you're older, go and have more children. So Rabbi Yeshua doesn't ever say that you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya. And the aspect of the other opinions is only B'Shas HaDchak. When can a person take measures not to fulfill further the mitzvah period of Yeruvah, but l'chatchil, a person should try to have as many children as possible. That's the way Rabbi Yeshua darshans this pasuk. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo ma Torah b'yaldu, so he darshans this pasuk from Koheles as saying that it's learning Torah. It's not talking about having children, it's talking about learning Torah. So lo ma Torah b'yaldu, so if a person learned a lot of Torah when he was young in base madrash, Don't say, well, I learned and now I'm going on to Parnas and now I'm going on to raising a family. No, Yilmo Torah is a Knusim. He has to learn Torah even when he gets older. Likewise, Hayolo Tamidim Yaldu, so Yilmo Tamidim is a Knusim. If he was a Rebbe, he taught other children, he taught other people in his youth, so don't say, well, I'm Yotzei Zayin. I finished that. No, he should have Tamidim in his older age as well. Shenemar, this pasuk from Koheles, Baboke, Zerah, Zerecha, V'Gomer. So that's how Rabbi Akiva darshens the pasuk, not dealing with period of Arivia, but dealing with Talmud Torah. And this leads us into a very, very timely discussion about Sfiras HaOmer. Some of the customs that we have in the Sfira, not to get married, not to take haircuts, not to shave, are based upon this Gemara over here with the tragedy of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. And that's based upon his idea that you should have Talmidim when you're younger. And Rabbi Akiva Nebuch lost all of his Talmidim when he was, quote, younger. He was already well in his life, but nevertheless, he didn't stop and he re-established Malkum Torah in Eretz Yisrael, which was a tremendous saving for Klal Yisrael. As we all know the story, Amru, the Gemara tells us, Shnei Masar Elef, there were 12,000 Zugim Tamidim, pairs of Tamidim, they were Chavrusas. So one of the understandings is the importance of learning B'Chavrusa. We don't just say he had 24,000 Tamidim, no, he had 12,000 pairs of Tamidim. Others suggest that B'Davka, he took stronger students to be paired with weaker students, and that's the idea that wants to tell us that they were Zugim, they were pairs for a purpose. Any event, he had these Nebuch 12,000 pairs of Talmidei Chachamim, Hoyle Rabbi Akiva, that they were spread out all over Eretz Yisrael, Mikivas ad Antiparis. However, the Kula Mesu Perakechad, as we'll see, they all died of a horrible disease, Askara. They all died during this period of time of the Sfiras HaOmer. There are different customs as to when they actually died during the Sfiras HaOmer, when they stopped dying, when they did die. And that relates to some of the customs that we have in terms of the Minhagim of Avelus, of sadness during the Sfiras HaOmer. And the Gemara tells us the reason why the Nebuch died was Mipnei Shalonagu Kovod Zelazeh. They all said, hey, what's your Torah worth? We're all Tamidim Rabbi Akiva, so your Torah is irrelevant. And they didn't give each other proper kovod. V'haya Olam Shomim. And with this loss of these 12,000 pairs of Tamidim, 24,000 Tamidei Chachamim, the prime Tamidim of Rabbi Akiva, so the world was almost destroyed. V'haya Olam Shomim, the world was left empty of Torah. Rabbi Akiva says, I'm not giving up. Actually, but Rabbi Akiva, it's a Rabbi saying, so Rabbi Akiva went down south in Eretz Yisrael, Ushinolahem, to five stellar Talmidim over there of Rabbi Akiva. They're famous throughout Shas. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. And in the Midrash, they say there were another two, and others say there were even more than that. But these are five Iker ones that we mentioned over here in our Gemara. The Haim, Hamidu Torah, Osa Shah, and they were the ones that re-established Torah in Eretz Yisrael, because with the tremendous loss of the biggest base medrash, around 24,000 Talmidim in this base medrash, what a blow to Torah in Klal Yisrael. But nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva started from scratch with these grade 5 Tanoim, who are before him throughout Shas, and he re-established Torah in Eretz Yisrael and in Klal Yisrael. We learned in another Braisa, Kula Meisu Mipesach Vayatzeres, they died during this period of time of Sfiras HaOmer right now. So Rabbi Chama bar Abba, or alternatively Rabbi Chiya bar Rabin said, "Kula meisu misarav." They all died a very, very difficult death. Mayhi, what was this death? Amar Rav Nachman, Asku was the very difficult death. The Gemara elsewhere tells us that of all the deaths, Asku is the most difficult death. It's something like diphtheria, where you have some sort of a membrane coming up from your upper GI tract that blocks your ability to breathe. And Nebuch is a very, very terrible type of a death. Rav Masa concludes this discussion and says that Halach is like a Rishua. A person should try to have children as much as he can later in life as well. Gemara continues with more Agadata. Rabbi Tanchum says in Rabbi Chaniloi, call Adam Shein Lo Isha. If a man does not have a wife, I know people sometimes cannot find their wives. They're not talking about somebody who's trying to find their wife, but it is talking in general about the wonderful, wonderful blessing of a healthy, successful marriage. So call Adam Shein Lo Isha. If a man doesn't have a successful marriage, he doesn't have a wonderful wife, he's living shari below simcha, below bracha, below tova. He doesn't have all of these wonderful blessings. He doesn't have simcha, he doesn't have bracha, he doesn't have tova. Where do we see this from? Based upon the following psukim. Below simcha, person who doesn't have a wife doesn't have full, complete simcha, dechsiv. You will have simcha with your beisecha, and beisecha is always a reference to your wife. As Rashi points out, beisecha refers to isha. Then it says, you won't have bracha, below bracha, dusiv, lo niach bracha, el beisecha, because you'll have bracha in your house. Again, your wife. Below tova, you will not have tova if you don't have a wonderful marriage, dilsiv, lo tova, yos adam avado, because it's not good for a person to be by themselves. In other words, it is good when you have a wife. So this concept from a Tamchum Amar B'chinoi, it tells us the wonderful benefits of having a wife. In Eretz Yisrael, they said, below Torah, below Choma. In addition, they said that if a person doesn't have a wife, he won't have Torah, because he won't have a Choma. What is that? So the Pasuk says, below Torah, it says, Dechsev, Ha'im, Ein Ezrasi Bi. So Rashi explains, Ezrasi Bi is Ezer Kenegdo. If you don't have your Ezer Kenegdo, so then, Vesushia, which is a reference to the Torah, Nidcho Mimeni, you won't be successful in learning Torah. When a person is not married, so he's going to have other thoughts entering into his mind, he's going to be, especially if he's a younger person, he's going to certainly be immersed in thinking of women, and therefore, having a wife will be allowing to satisfy those physical urges and needs, and at the same time, he'll be able to concentrate on Torah. So without this wife, below Isha, he will not have Torah. Where do we see below Choma? He won't have a wall to protect him as well. Below Choma, that says, Dersiv, Nikeva, to so save Gover. We have a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, which says that the wife functions, so to say, as a wall for the man. She protects the man from his yetzer, from his thoughts, from his evil inclination, and therefore, as a result, the woman who is a choma for the man will protect him. And that is actually the source, or one of the sources for the custom that we have, that Kala makes seven revolutions around the husband at the chuppah to signify this idea that she is a wall protecting him from the outside nebuch, evil inclination ideas that he might have without a wife. Rabbi Barul Amar below Shalom. He likewise will not have Shalom. Tosiv Yodata ki Shalom Alecha. Alecha, Rashi tells us again, is a word that we use for a wife. And it's based upon Shuvo Lechem Lior Lechem. When we're told after Har Sinai, go back to your Ohalechem, it means go back to your wives. So if a person doesn't have this wife, so he won't have peace. Yodata ki Shalom Alecha. And when you'll be with your wife, so then you will not sin. Now we're going to dash this pasuk a little bit more as well. Amar Shuben Levi, Kol Yadeh Biishto Shiyur Shemaim. If a man knows that his wife is a Yireyur Shemaim, she's a wonderful, God-fearing woman, that ain't a poked, and he doesn't have relations with her at the times that he's obligated to, and she's such a Yireyur Shemaim, she's such a tsunua, that she doesn't, quote, demand having this. In Yiddishkeit, there's an obligation for the husband to go and have relations with his wife, to pleasure his wife, to please his wife. So if he doesn't do so, Nikra Chote, the husband is called a Chote, based upon this pasuk. Shenema, V'yadati Yisholem O'alecha, at the end of the pasuk, we have a Goma here, says, in this situation, if you have relations with her, then you won't sin. Implication being that if you don't have relations with her at the proper time, with her permission, of course, so then you're considered a sinner. An additional drasha from this pasuk of Rishu Levi, a man is required to have relations with his wife at the times that she specifically wants it, which is usually when he's going off on a trip. So she's going to miss her husband, so he should have relations with her then. Again, always with her willingness and permission. Again, based upon this pasuk, so when you will leave your house, so your wife will desire you, so then that's the time that you're supposed to have relations with her. As the Gemara will explain, this is if you're not going off specifically to fulfill the bar mitzvah, pidgin shvuyim, or something like that, but you're just going off on a trip, a business trip, or a leisure trip, that is a requirement. Your wife is going to miss you, that you should have relations with before you go. Gemara says, really, this is a source. I have a different source of that pasuk. It says, when Chava was punished for the chait of eating from the Eitz Hadas, so she was told that part of your punishment is that you're going to desire your husband at all times. And especially when he's not there. So this connection from the wife to the husband is already from Chava. Why are you saying it from this pasuk? So Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, lo nitzucha, this is an additional telling us here, Ela Somach Levesta, that this is telling us that normally, as Rashi points out, Somach Levesta, which we'll see in a moment what that means, prior to her having her period, a man is supposed to stay away from his wife because of the chashash, that Chas HaShom, when they're having relations, she could be Pir Sanida. So therefore, normally you have to stay away from your wife for that period of time, and in this situation, we're going up on a trip, so this Gezerah doesn't apply. The Gemara says, Vakama, what is this period of time that you're supposed to abstain from having relations with your wife when she's expecting her period? So I'm a Rava. Rava says it's an Ona. It's a time period. Rashi says, in Regila Liros Bayom, if she's expected to normally see during the day, to only hear a woman with a very regular cycle, so Asura Kol Yom, then he's not allowed to have relations with her that day. If in Regila Liros Laila, if she normally sees at night, Asura Kol Laila, he wouldn't be allowed to have relations with her that night when she's expecting her period. But If he's going off on a trip and she wishes to have relations with him, then this is pushed aside. But this is only, Vahani Mili Dvar says, Lidvar Rishus. This is the person going, as I mentioned before. If he's going off on a leisure trip, he's going off on a regular business trip, he's not going off specifically Lidvar Mitzvah, albeit making a parnassus a mitzvah. Apple, Lidvar Mitzvah, if he's doing a Dvar Mitzvah, so then Rashi points out he's either Torid B'Mitzvah, he's so involved in the Mitzvah, and he doesn't have the opportunity to go and have relations with his wife, or if he has relations with his wife, Inami, Mitra B'Tashmish, if he's busy, involved, having relations with his wife, he bought the Mitzvah, he's not going to end up doing the Mitzvah. So in this situation, Aval Dvar Mitzvah, Mitridi, so he's busy with the Mitzvah, so then he doesn't have this obligation to be with his wife right before he goes away. Tana Rabban, and then bring down another bright, so obviously this ishto kigufo, a man has an obligation to love his wife just like he loves himself. I heard from Rav Shechter Shlita that this is really the full fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha. How could you ever possibly love anybody as much as you love yourself? So that really doesn't apply, Rav Shechter said, to regular people. There you have to try to be nice to everybody, but you can never really love anybody as much as you do yourself, with the exception of your spouse. Ha'ovis ishto kigufo, a person has an obligation to love his wife just like he loves his own self. And with a wife, that is possible that a person could reach that level of love for someone else just like he loves himself. But when it comes to kavod, when you're going to go and honor your wife, yoser migufo, you have to even do it more than yourself. As Rashi points out, that a woman can be affected more than a man by negative things. So therefore, you have to be mechabed your wife more than yourself. The halacha is, if you only have enough money to buy one set of clothing, you buy for your wife, not for yourself. So all of the dinim over here of kibbut is more for your wife than you would even do for yourself. If you're saying, I don't need this, you can't say, well, my wife doesn't need it either. No, she has to be mevater on something. You can't be mevater on something for her. You have to be mechabed your wife, yoser migufo, even more than you would your own self. If a person raises his children in the proper path, so then he'll be doing the right thing. And if he gets married at a young age, here in the times of Gemara, it was close to the age of Pirkun, which is puberty. Now it would be a little bit later, obviously, but at the same time, marrying the children off at a young age is a very smart thing to do. About such a person who does all of these things, all over course of Omer, Yodata Kisholom Olecha. This pasuk that we just brought down, so your house will be at peace. This is a very wonderful thing for a person to do. The Brisa continues and says, oh, if a person loves his neighbors, Famakariv is Krovov, and he is friendly and likes his relatives, he's close with his relatives. And likewise, Vanoseas Basachoso, the person marries his sister's daughter, his niece through his sister. So again, we wouldn't do this today for various reasons, but in the times of the Gemara, this was certainly a very allowable as well as recommended type of a marriage. Rashi explains, person has natural love for his sister more than he does for his brothers. That's just the nature of things, Rashi says. As a result, so his niece from his sister is probably going to be very much like his sister. So he has natural love for his sister, and that's, of course, a prohibited relationship, but his niece, the daughter of his sister, is a permitted relationship. So that's a perfect spouse for a person, and the stomach, he will love her very, very much. Now, the Tosu says over here, Pirush Rashbam, Duodin Bas Ochiv. Tosu says that the Rashbam holds the same thing applies to your brother's daughter. Abel Achoso Nokat, but it specifically said over here, your sister's daughter, Levi Shemishtalto Bidvorim, Vishriach Shenose Bito. It's just more likely that he'll be speaking with her, and then we'll likely end up marrying her. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Omer Dafku Nokat Bachos Achoso says, though specifically it says over here, sister's daughter, rather than his brother's daughter, because she falls under the same mazel as him. And this is what we say, that when you want to check out a prospective spouse, so go look at the brothers of the mother to see what type of children you're going to have, whether this is going to be a marriage that you would think is good for you. The Tosfos Yeshanah, which can be found at the top of Samach Gimel Omer Aleph, it actually starts on the bottom of Samach Beis Omer Beis, but the part that we're interested in is on the top line on Samach Gimel Omer Aleph, and he says, why does it specifically say over here, the sister's child, the Achosu L'motzi L'mitrach L'asiyah, because for his sister, nobody else will be going to try to get that child married. Because his brother, in those days, it was more likely that the man would be successful at finding the shidduch, because often involved either dowry or more of an out public type of a posture. So therefore, his sister's daughter needs more help in getting a shidduch than his brother's daughter. So therefore, that's why the Tosafot Shonim says, but dafka, this applies to his sister's daughter. The Yesh Mefarshim, another explanation, dafka basa choso, avlo basa achiv. Why? The osi lafkia mitzvah, because if he marries his niece from his brother, so then Rachmon al-Lasan, if the brother dies childless, so then he would be abrogating the mitzvah of Yibam. The Bright continues and tells us, and we turn to Samach Gimel and Aleph, and if you lend money to an oni, the Rambam brings down that a higher level of giving stuff is to lend money rather than to just give money. Because normally when you lend money, you're giving a larger amount, and you set a guy up in business, and you make him self-sustaining, so that person will do actually a bigger mitzvah than if you give somebody $10 instead of giving them $10,000 as a loan. So $10 will get him through supper that night, maybe. $10,000 loan will set him up, and they won't need stocker from anybody anymore. So if you lend money to a poor person at the time of his need, so in all of these things that we just brought down, the second part of the Brayis, so all of a course of Omer, the pasuk says, this pasuk from Yeshaya, Az Tikra Vashem Yane. If you do this, Hashem will answer you. Tishaba, when you're in need, the Yobar Hineni. You will cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you are in need, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, here I am. B'ezus Hashem, we should be all zocha to have wonderful marriages, and for those in need of a shidduch, B'ezus Hashem, they should find it as soon as possible. Forgot to mention at the beginning of the shir that today is Elliot Platt's grandfather's yahrzeit, Meir Ben Yitzchak Halevi. Elliot has been a regular member of the shir for several cycles and is a good friend, and B'ezus Hashem, the neshama of his grandfather, Shevna Leah, from our learning. With this, we conclude today's shir.